Thanks, Wendy, for that reading. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. My name is Michael. I'm one of the pastors of this church. And also welcome to those joining us online. And again, a happy Mother's Day to all the mothers in our congregation. I recognise that this is not the best circumstance for Mother's Day for church. It's really sad to have to see you all behind masks again. I miss seeing your beautiful faces. I was going to say that for some of you it's an improvement wearing masks, but that's not true. This is not the ideal. God willing, this will only be for a short time. I'm going to be speaking from that passage that Wendy just read for us, as well as some other passages in the Bible about mothers. And the topic for today is how God sees mothers, what the Bible has to say about motherhood, how that gels or doesn't quite gel with what the world is saying. So I'm going to lead us in prayer. Please join for me as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for our mothers. Thank you that they gave us a life. Thank you for the things that they have taught us. Thank you for their love. And Lord, we thank you that you also value and respect motherhood, that our Lord Jesus Christ came from a human mother, and that your apostles take mothers as examples of gentleness and love for those under their care. Lord, we pray that as we look at your word today, that we may have a bit more of a picture on how you see mothers, and we pray that this will help us to appreciate, value, and love our mothers better. In Jesus' name, amen. Mothers, I think I can say, get a lot of judgment in our world today. They get a lot of criticism. When a baby can't stop crying, it's the mother who is often called upon to make them quiet. And it's often the mother who is subtly blamed when she can't. When a child does something embarrassing in public, it's the mother who gets the sideways looks. And when a student misbehaves at school or at preschool or wherever it is the mother who is often called. It's really easy to judge or criticize a mother as well. If a mother gives a child what they want, people say that she is spoiling them. If a mother doesn't give a child what they want, they say she's too strict. If a mother encourages her child to work hard and succeed, she's called a tiger mum. But if she takes the pressure off, she's the opposite of a tiger mum, whatever people call that. Some people call that like a jellyfish mum or an elephant mum. They're too soft on their kids. It's really easy to judge or criticize a mother. We load expectations on them that we would definitely not want placed on us if we were in their shoes. And once we think about it, I think all that judgment, all that criticism, all those double standards, they can't be right. And the Bible actually says that they're not right because it doesn't gel with the way that God actually designed motherhood. God did not design motherhood to be judged and evaluated by a scornful and judgmental public. God did not design motherhood to be the solution to all our problems so that people get to blame their mothers for every trouble that they have. Basically, God did not design our mums to be our saviours. There's only one saviour in the Bible, Jesus, and he does it precisely because we can't do it. And so today we're going to look at the Bible. And we're going to see what God has to say about motherhood and how that should shape the way that we see mothers today. Now, there are a lot of things that the Bible says about mothers, but here are three really big ones that I want to show you. The first one is that God thinks mothers are influential. The second one, God knows that mothers are fallible. And the third one, God wants mothers to be forgiven. And so firstly, God thinks mothers are influential. Now, what does it mean that mothers are influential? Well, it means that mothers in the Bible have a huge impact on the lives of their children. Mothers bring their children into the world. Mothers love their children and nurture them, but they are most influential in the teaching of their children. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, the passage that was read for us, says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." God wants mothers to teach their children all sorts of things, and he expects children to take on board what their mothers teach them. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Paul writes to Timothy and he says, "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." There's this passing down. Timothy's grandmother passed on her faith to Timothy's mother, who then passed it on to Timothy. The Bible says that mothers give us the values that shape the people we are. whether consciously or unconsciously, our mothers are involved in teaching us what is good and right. And it is a beautiful thing when children recognize that, when they recognize the input that their mothers have made. The NBA player Kevin Durant, he won the 2014 Most Valuable Player Award. He had this to say in praise of his mother.
Man, when something good happens to you, I don't know about you guys, but I tend to look back to what brought me here. And you wake me up in the middle of the night in the summer times, making me run up the hill, making me do push-ups, screaming at me from the sideline of my games at 8 or 9 years old. We weren't supposed to be here. You made us believe. You kept us off the street, put clothes on our backs, food on the table. When you didn't eat, you made sure we ate. You went to sleep hungry. You sacrificed for us. You're the real MVP.
And it's such a beautiful thing to say to your mum, is that you're the real MVP. Tom Hooper, he won the Academy Award for Best Director for directing The King's Speech. Though he also did go on to direct Cats, so you can't win all the time. But when he won the award for The King's Speech, in his acceptance, he said, "My mum in 2007 was invited by some Australian friends in London to a fringe theatre play reading of an unrehearsed, unproduced play called The King's Speech. Thank God she went, because she rung me up and said, 'Tom, I think I've found your next film. So with this tonight, I honour you. And the moral of the story is listen to your mother.'" Mothers are influential. And if God thinks mothers are influential, then our response should be to respect motherhood and our mothers. We should respect motherhood. Motherhood is not a thing that should be casually dismissed or denigrated. Taking maternity leave to look after a baby is not a holiday from work, nor is it foolishly limiting your career. It is a woman taking on a lifelong calling to shape a life and take responsibility for a life. And so we respect motherhood in general, but we should also respect our own mothers in particular. It's one of the Ten Commandments in the Bible. Honour your father and mother. We saw that in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 as well. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. There are so many verses in the Bible that say, respect your mums. Later on in Proverbs, the same idea is expressed a different way. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 17. The eye that mocks a father, that scorns obedience to a mother, will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley, will be eaten by the vultures. Mothers, feel free to share that verse with your kids. I see that in some Christian houses, you know, they have plaques on the wall with a Bible verse on it in lovely handwriting. I would love to see that verse up there somewhere. But the idea is, don't resent it when your mother tries to shape you. Don't resent it when your mother tries to influence you. That is just your mum doing her job. And I'm pretty sure that you would rather her do that than her to not care at all about the way that you turn out. God thinks mothers are influential. So mothers are influential. They have a great impact on their children's lives. But we also know that mothers are not always perfect. They don't always have the best influence on us. When we think about our own lives, we inherit the best of our mothers, but we also inherit the flaws. Is that a big deal? Well, not to God. No, it's not a big deal, because the second thing that the Bible says is that God knows that mothers are fallible. Now, have a look at Romans chapter 3, verse 23. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans chapter 3, verses 10 to 12. "There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one." You might have noticed that these passages here, they're not speaking specifically about mothers. These passages are about all of us together as a human race, but that's kind of the point. We're all in the same boat here. None of us are good enough for God. None of us are perfect. And I hope, therefore, it's not really an insulting or controversial thing to say that that means that no mother is perfect. Your mother is not perfect. And if you are a mother, then you are not perfect. You know, mothers are not gods. They're not saviors, and they're not meant to be. We don't get to elevate our expectations of mothers to standards that are so high that no one could ever reach them. We wouldn't want people to do that to us. We're all in the same boat here. We are all sinners. And even Jesus says this. When a rich man comes to Jesus and calls him good teacher, Jesus replies, "Why do you call me good?" He says, "No one is good except God alone." Now, I never thought about it this way before, but when Jesus says that, you've got to say that Jesus must also be including his own mother in that statement. God knows that mothers are fallible. And I think, I could be wrong because I'm not a mother, but I think that most mothers know this. And most mothers would want other people to know this as well. The Washington Post, for Mother's Day, they invited readers to share their experience of being a mother in poetry. This is what one woman sent in. Sorry, I hit send before I was finished. Motherhood is the radical redesign of, yes, you can have a chocolate egg from your basket. Everything we know, our values, our skills, our perspective, our ego, our empathy, our, hey, mummy, I want to kiss you in the eye and the other eye. Now give me another chocolate egg. Mummy, can I see your, no, I deleted that word. What was I saying? I forget. Motherhood is perpetual failure at multitasking. It's the ultimate roller coaster of joy and sorrow, comfort and fear, love and hate, fast and slow, past and future. Motherhood is, now kiss my eyes, mummy. Motherhood is perpetual failure at multitasking. Other contributors, when they sent in their poetry, they mentioned fights with children, empty threats made in frustration, mothers doing things that they would rather forget. Mothers know that they are fallible. And in a sense, that is okay, because God knows that too. And if that's the case, then we should not expect our mothers to be God. If mothers are fallible, if no mother is perfect, then our mothers are not the foolish ones for failing to live up to our expectations. We are the foolish ones for having those expectations. Mothers making mistakes, even big ones, is just business as usual. It's just normal. It's just humans being humans. And if you're able to accept that, if you're able to let things like that slide, then I can almost guarantee that there will be a better relationship between you and your mother, as opposed to holding on to grudges or nursing that bitterness that is in your heart. We don't expect the world of mothers, because God knows that mothers are fallible. So we know that mothers are fallible, but you might have noticed that the Bible actually says that mothers are more than just fallible. It's not saying that we all just make a few mistakes every now and then. No, the Bible's a lot stronger than that. The Bible says we have sinned. We have turned away. We are worthless in God's eyes. We do not do good, and we are not good. We think we're good. That's because we compare down all the time to people who are worse than us. If we compare up and we look at God next to God's goodness, we are not good at all. But the way that God treats us in that situation, when we do not do good, which is most of the time, is instructive for the way when we treat our mothers, because what we learn from God is that God wants mothers to be forgiven. Now, again, there are tons of places where we see God's forgiveness in the Bible, but let me show you one of the more poetic ones, Psalm 103, verses 8 to 12. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Notice here that God doesn't do the things that we normally do, that we normally do when other people do wrong. God doesn't minimize our sin. God doesn't say, oh, it's not that bad, you know, it's okay, don't worry about it. God doesn't take away our responsibility either. He doesn't say, oh, you know what you did, that's understandable because you had a bad childhood. You weren't brought up right. You fell in with the wrong crowd. No, God maintains that we do wrong. And God maintains that we are responsible. But the absolutely amazing thing about God's love is that even despite that, God chooses not to be angry with us. He chooses to continue to love us. He restrains himself from giving us the full punishment for our sins. And in his love, he separates our sins from us. As high as the heavens are above the earth, as far as the east is from the west, he separates them so far away that it no longer has any impact on our lives. But you've got to ask the question, well, is that just? Well, I think it is. Like, imagine you're a child and you are with your mother in the kitchen. And you're carrying a bunch of plates and you're helping your mum. And you're distracted, like kids are, and you drop a bunch of plates and they break. They shatter all over the ground. You look at your mum and you say, I'm sorry, but sorry doesn't put those plates back together. In order for true restoration to happen, someone has to pay the cost of those plates. Someone has to restore them. And either you have to do it or your mother has to do it. Now, this kind of thing was a pretty common experience in my house when I was a kid. I broke a lot of things. The things that I broke, though, I don't think I can ever remember having to pay for a single plate or bowl or whatever it was that I broke. Now, if I had to pay as a kid for everything that I broke, I'd be broke, I guess. Now, for those things, my mother, my father, but probably my mother had to pay that price for me. And that's actually similar with us and God. In order for restoration to happen between us and God, either we have to pay or God has to pay. And the price that God gives is our lives. We can't pay the price without dying. And so God did instead by coming into the world as the man Jesus Christ and dying for us in our place. And you've got to think, guys, how much does God love us that he would go through all that to bring us back to him? When he just completely didn't have to. It's a sign of how much God wants us to be forgiven. And if that's the way God treats us, if we believe God did that and believe that that was a good thing, well, that can't help but change the way that we treat others. Can't help but change the way that we treat our mothers. If God wants mothers to be forgiven, then we should want our mothers to be forgiven as well. So when your mother does wrong to you, when she shows that fallibility, be like God in this. Do not accuse. Do not harbor your anger forever. Forgive her. Don't let your mother's mistakes get in the way of your relationship with her. We forgive our mothers because God wants mothers to be forgiven. So this is how God sees mothers. God thinks mothers are influential. God knows mothers are fallible. God wants mothers to be forgiven. But when I say those things, I think that that all assumes that you have a mother who has a certain amount of love for her family and children. Most mothers do. But what about mothers who neglect those responsibilities? What about people whose mothers have run away or people who were neglected or abused by their mothers? What does God have to say to people who've been hurt and betrayed by their mothers? Well, God actually does have a few things to say on the other side of that coin. I want to show you three things. First thing is that God is the reason why it's right to feel betrayed. You see, God is the God who says that that kind of behavior is wrong. That's why he calls on mothers and fathers to not exasperate their children, but to raise them, love them, discipline them, care for them. A parent who neglects that, gives up on that, runs away from that, is rebelling against the way that God made motherhood and parenthood. But if there were no God at all, there'd be no one to say that parents should be like that. If there's no God, why should parents love their kids? If there's no God, there's no meaning or purpose to parenthood. It's not meant for anything. It's just a thing. And so you can just do with it whatever you want, including ignoring it. But the truth is that there is a God who makes things a certain way and who made families a certain way. And that's why we feel bad when things do not go that way. God is the reason why it's right to feel betrayed. Second thing that the Bible says is that God knows what it's like to be betrayed. When Jesus died on the cross, that was God neglected by the rest of the world. That was God thoroughly alone, betrayed and abandoned by his closest friends, having to face death and suffering all by himself. And what I'm saying by this is that if you're a person who feels betrayed, then God knows what that is like. That you're not alone in that. Jesus was alone in that so that you wouldn't have to be. So that you have a companion in Jesus. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin." People around you might not understand what you're going through. Friends might not understand. And even you might not fully understand it yourself. But Jesus understands. And you can talk to him about it in prayer. And if you don't know how to do that, just ask someone from this church and they will tell you. God knows what it's like to be betrayed. And finally, God offers hope for the betrayed and the betrayer. For those who feel betrayed, that person who betrayed you, there is actually hope for that person. The Bible says that no one ever sinks so low that they are unreachable by the transforming grace of God. In the Bible and in human history, God has changed the hearts of murderers, thieves, persecutors, serial killers, people who've done the worst possible things we can imagine. God has forgiven them and changed them into new people. God can change the hearts of those who betray us as well. So if you can, if you're able, keep praying and asking God to do that in the lives of the people who have hurt you. But whether you do that or not, for those of us who feel betrayed, who have to carry that hurt and those burdens, well, God offers hope for us as well. Because God says that he is bringing our world to a place of peace and healing and glory. For people who are broken and damaged in this world, God promises that we will be healed. It says in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, when God's people reach heaven, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Saying here that the pain we feel will be taken away by God and we will have an eternity, a forever to look forward to of happiness and blessing, where our lives here are only going to be a distant memory. God offers hope for the betrayed and the betrayer. So to finish up, mothers get a lot of judgment in our world today. It's really easy to judge or criticize a mother. But that is not why God made mothers. It's not why he made motherhood. God thinks mothers are influential. God shows us in the Bible the noble calling of mothers to shape and to mold the character of their children. At the same time, though, God knows that mothers are fallible, like we all are. God knows that mothers aren't perfect. They're not God. But God is a God who also wants mothers to be forgiven. He loves our mothers. And we can see that because he sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world to die for us. So when you see a mother, whether it's your own mother or someone else's mother just out there, remember that great influence that she is on her children. Know that that's been given by God, and give her a break if she doesn't always match up to it, because God has a great love for our mothers. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in your word we can find so much about what you have to say about mothers and how you see them. Lord, we thank you that you show us that mothers are influential. And Lord, as we reflect upon our own lives, we thank you for the ways in which our mothers have helped to shape us for the better, for the good values that they have given us, and in many cases for the faith that they have given us as well. But Lord, we also know that our mothers are not perfect, and thank you that you say this in your word to help us against those unrealistic expectations of mothers and others. Please help us not to see our mothers as God or our saviours, because there's only one saviour, Jesus. And Lord, therefore, we pray that that might help to restrain our expectations of them. We also pray that because you forgive us because you forgive our mothers, you want us to be forgiven through your Son, Jesus Christ, that we may be people who forgive as well. And please help us not to always accuse, not to harbour anger forever, but to do what you do and separate people from their sins. And Lord, we pray that that may help our relationships with our mothers as well. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.